what you've done. We saw it here. And a woman who was Jesus redeemed her, brought him to himself. You saw the Samaritan woman well there, where Jesus spoke to her. When you read in the Bible there, what you're currently living with is not your husband. Come back to the Father. So love the world that whosoever, with no qualifications, with no restrictions, whoever, God so loved the world that whosoever would believe in him would have life. They wouldn't perish. Every time. And when he speaks out and he says, I forgive you. Man. Forgive, reunited with the Father. We talk about all these other things in our Christian worlds. All these different waves. We talk about the healing wave. We talk about the gifts of the Spirit. We talk about all these things, and they're great, and they are available to each and every one of us. But if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, it means nothing. You can't operate in that. You can't benefit from that. But when you have Jesus as your Savior, when we're living on this side of the rolled stone, because we are, we're living on this side of the rolled stone. He's risen. He's risen indeed. That's where we're living at today. Jesus did what was necessary to reunite us to the Father, with the Father. Gave his life. I was at Jeannie and Wooler's house on Friday. And they had this picture hanging up over their fireplace. And it was a picture, I believe it was a painting. It was somebody they knew. And it was a picture of Jesus hanging on the cross. And it was probably one of the most accurate depictions in my mind, because I wasn't there, but in my mind, of what Jesus went through as he was nailed to the cross. In that picture, you couldn't tell that it was a human being. Beaten so badly, torn so badly. And that's what the Bible says. You couldn't tell that he was human. But you know what? He did it for us. But when he went to that tomb, he died on that cross, they put him in that tomb, and he rose from the grave. He didn't look like that anymore. He did all this for us so that we can celebrate. Oh, we're celebrating Easter Sunday. And that's good. But man, celebrate every day. Celebrate every day that he has risen. Celebrate that every day. And then you can go into where the Bible says, and forget now all of his benefits. There's benefits to being a born-again believer. Kevin touched on some of them today when he talked about in 3 John. I'm praying above all that you prosper. Prosper in every area, being in health. Spirit, soul, and body. He wants us to prosper in every area. But if we don't have Jesus as our Savior, he come up out of that tomb, that stone was rolled away, and we've accepted him as our Savior, doesn't mean anything. But guess what? We got a body of believers in this place here today. It means something. Amen. It means something to us. And when it means something to us, man, I'm going to go right back to Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of it. Because it's the power of God. It's the life-transforming power of God. I'm not ashamed of that gospel. I'm not ashamed that Jesus came and died for me on the cross, that he was beaten, that he was humiliated. I'm not ashamed because he said there's power in that. That shed blood brought about healing for your body. By his stripes, you were healed. That's exciting. I'm about ready to laugh here in a minute just because it's exciting. But, you know, he lived and he died and he was buried in a tomb, and the tomb was sealed with a large stone. But the stone and its purpose was no match for the resurrection. Was no match for what God had in mind. This stone that we're talking about, I looked it up, and historically it says that this stone was about 4.5 feet in diameter. About a foot thick and weighed anywhere from 1 to 3 tons, so 2 to 6,000 pounds. And I believe it's in Matthew where it talks about how an angel came down and there was an earthquake and they rolled back this stone. An angel rolled back the stone. And when Mary and Martha were heading toward the tomb, they were saying, because they had their spices. Who are we going to get to roll the stone away for us? He already did it. And he wasn't there. But he's risen. And he's risen indeed. That's the foundation for what we believe. We're going to go to John chapter 20. And we're going to read this Easter account. I say an account all the time because too many people, too many pastors call them stories. And stories remind me of fairy tales, remind me of bedtime stories. This is no fairy tale. This is an account. This is historical facts that we're going to be reading about here. John chapter 20, verse 1. We're going to read a number of verses because I want to get through this whole resurrection account. Starting with verse 1, it said, early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from its entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. I love it when I read out of the book of John, John's calling himself the disciple that Jesus loved. You know what? When you look into the mirror, you should say to yourself, there's the disciple that Jesus loves right there. Each and every one of us are disciples. If we've accepted Jesus as our Savior, and we're walking out the path that he's called for us, we're his disciples. So look in the mirror. Anybody look in the mirror in the mornings? Some of you got natural beauty because I only got one person that even looks in the mirror. So the rest of you are good all the time. Okay. I would venture to say pretty much everybody will look into the mirror. And when you do, say, man, there's the disciple that Jesus loved. So she ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, they've taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him. Peter and the other disciples started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter. Peter had short legs. Outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then the inquisitive, fearless, brazen, bold Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed that the linen wrappings lying there. While the cloth that had covered Jesus' face was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. Dear woman, why are you crying? The angel asked her. Because they've taken away my Lord, she replied, and I don't know where they put him. She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. Dear woman, why are you crying? Jesus asked her. Who are you looking for? She thought it was the gardener. Sir, she said, if you've taken him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will go and get him. Mary. Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which in Hebrew means teacher. Don't cling to me, Jesus said, for I haven't yet ascended to my Father, but go find my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Yes. Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, I have seen the Lord. And she gave them this message. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, we love the suddenlies. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. So as the Father has sent him, so he is sending you. The same commission is on each and every one of us. So I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they're forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Verse 30. The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, we'll have life by the power of his name. The stone that was rolled away. And if you read in Matthew, it talks about how the church leaders, they came and said, came up to Pilate. He said, man, can you put some guards in front of that thing there? You know, Jesus said that he was going to rise from the dead after 3 days. Can you put some guards there? Because, man, I'll bet his disciples are going to kind of try to come there, knock that stone out of the way, and they're going to steal him up out of the grave, and they're going to say, see, he rose just like he said, you know. So in Matthew chapter 27, verse 62, it said, on the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees, church leaders, people, gathered together to Pilate, saying, sir, remember while he was still alive, how the deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, you have a guard. Go your way, make it secure, as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. The devil was doing all that he could to discredit all that Jesus said would happen. All that Jesus said that he was about himself. And he's still trying to do that today. You know, in John 10:10, title of my sermon is Rolled Away for Good. The stone has been rolled away for good. But you know what? The devil would love to entrap us. The devil would love to have us locked behind some stone. The devil would like to have us, for sure, not knowing who Jesus was as Savior and the benefits that we have of having him as our Savior. The devil would love to crush us even to this day. If I couldn't get Jesus, I'm going to get the people that are here on this earth, trying to reach. Because guess what? We've each been given a commission to go and reach the people of this world. The Bible says to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Those who believe will be saved. Those who don't, they won't be. But a part of that gospel goes on to say in the following verses, this is Mark 16, 15 through 18, it talks about laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. That's part of the gospel. Laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. It talks about casting out demons. It talks about speaking in tongues. All these different things it talks about. You've each been given that commission. If you're a believer, if you're born again, if you're a disciple of Christ, that's your commission. That's what you're supposed to be doing here on earth. Is it okay to make money? Yeah. Is it okay to provide for your family? Well, the Bible says if you don't, you're worse than an unbeliever. Yeah, it's okay. Is it okay to have a brand new car? Yeah. It's okay to have all these things. But your number one goal as a believer is to go in the world to share the gospel. We should be looking for opportunities every day to share that Jesus died and he rose from the grave. And that he lives he lives to redeem mankind back unto himself. That should be what we should be focused on. We can get distracted. And the devil would love it if we were. In John 10:10, it says that the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's his purpose. That's why he's here. That's all he's seeking to do. The Bible talks about he roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It says he roams around like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. And he's seeking someone whom he may devour. You don't have to let him devour you. He'd love to throw you into a tomb and seal that bad boy up. But it says here, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. But what's Jesus say here? He says, but I've come, I've been sent by the Father, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, have it to the full. Whoo! He wants you to live a full and abundant life in him. When we're in Him, we can't help but live a full and abundant life if we're trusting in Him. Everybody's so up on that verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, we can. Through Christ, we can do all things. I'm excited about it. I'm excited that He said that I can live a life to the full. Jesus made that promise that we could live a life to the full. His death on the cross and His resurrection, conquering death, raised us to life, has bought that for us. His death paid for our freedom. Satan is still trying to this day, according to this verse, because he's still the same person, he's still trying to this day to bury us every day. Anybody ever had circumstances come against you in your life where it just smacked you in the face and knocked you to the ground, you didn't feel like you could get back up again? That's the devil, just so you know. Now, sometimes we do goofy stuff in our own lives to where we find ourselves in bad situations. But you know what? It's the devil's purpose to hit you in the head, knock you in the face, knock you down, and make you feel like there's no hope for your life, that you'll never get back up again, that you're not worthy, just like we saw in that video of Mary there. So I'm just not worthy. He redeemed me, and I failed him. I love what Jesus said, the guy. Not much of a redemption if he can lose it in one day. But the stones that the devil would try to define us with, the stones that he would try to continue to roll back over us, are just weak attempts in the life for those who are truly seeking a Savior. If you're truly seeking a Savior, and you're in the Word of God, then you know what kind of authority that you have. And in Luke 10:19, it says that He is giving us authority over serpents and scorpions, devils and demons, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. Jesus has given us that authority because of that rolled away stone, because He rose from the dead, and because we've accepted Him as our Savior, He's given us authority over all the works of the enemy. So when the devil tries to come against you in some kind of way, say, no, I bind you in the name of Jesus. You can't win. I've already won. I'm more than a conqueror. I've overcome you because greater is He that is in me than you that is in the world. His death on the cross did so many things. It cleared the way for us to have right relationship with God, to bring us back into fellowship. It purchased the possibility of our salvation. You don't use the word possibility because not everybody has accepted Christ as Savior. He paved a way so that we can receive Him as Savior. It brought us free from sin's powers. Gave us healing for our bodies. And gave us the possibility of abundant life. Jesus did what He did, came here to give us abundant life. When I talk about the stones that were rolled away, I mean, it's kind of like some of you know that I used to work for the Department of Corrections. I worked in Pontiac, maximum security prison. If you couldn't get along in the prison system, they sent you to us, so we had the worst of the worst in the state of Illinois. Now, when you work in a population house, they had on the end of the gallery is where guys lived, and there'd be 52 cells on a gallery, and you had what was called the breaks. And what the breaks were is this little box on the end of the gallery. You have a key, unlock the box. You open up the box door, and you take that door, and you beat on it. Wham, wham, wham. Echoes throughout this building, all concrete building, concrete and iron. And then what you would do is you take this crank and you'd turn the brakes to open. And everybody in those cells themselves would grab their door and they'd push it open. And they would walk out. And then you would roll the brakes back so that, you know, you don't want to leave them unsecure like that. But when Jesus died, and that stone was rolled away, the brakes were rolled, and He walked out. When He walked out, we walked out. We were set free. Our prison doors were open. We had a way to live an abundant life. We had a way was made for us to live in freedom. When the stone was rolled away, it was like the prison cell you were in were opened. The possibility of living an abundant life was now open to you. All we had to do was step out. Step out of that cell that we were in. In John chapter 4. You know, it's not that we don't have struggles in life. Anybody ever struggled any time in your life? Okay, I got two. Okay, three. All right, we got three people who have struggled. I'll raise my hand with y'all too. We've struggled in life. You know, we may have struggled physically. We may have struggled emotionally, financially, relationship-wise. We may have struggled in a whole bunch of different ways. Things that Satan would use to try to entomb us, to trap us once again. But the Bible says something about that. In 1 John chapter 4, it says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit." So if he's talking about dear friends, who's he talking to? What kind of people is he talking to? He's talking about believers. He's talking about those who accepted Jesus as Savior. He says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one that is in this world. The one who is trying to enslave us still, the one who's trying to trap us still, he says here, the greater one lives on the inside of you, and you've overcome that one. It doesn't say that weapons won't be formed against you, because the Bible says weapons will be formed against you. It doesn't say that you won't face trials, because the Bible says they count it all joy when you encounter various trials. Those things are going to come against you. But you know what? With the greater one living on the inside of you, you don't have to put up with that garbage. You don't have to put up with that at all. Because you have the name of Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, everything has to bow. Everything bows at the name of Jesus. The devil in my life, on probably five different occasions, has been charged with attempted murder. I had one instance when I was a little kid, hit by a truck when I was riding a bicycle. I had another occasion where I was in a swimming pool. Anybody ever played, what do they call it, chicken in the swimming pool? Get somebody on your shoulders and you're trying to pull them off and all that type of stuff. Well, I was the one who had somebody on my shoulders, and we went into a little bit too deep water, went about to hear on me, and I couldn't get them off my shoulders. Eventually, I got them off my shoulders, but I thought, I don't want to drown her today. Then I had a boating accident where it capsized on the Clinton Lake in March, I think it was. So it was still a little bit cold out, and had my friends there. None of them could swim. The only smart person was his wife, and she had a life jacket on. Nobody else did. Got everybody on the boat, which is the top, which is now the bottom of the boat. It's flipped over. It's capsized. And so I got them all in the boat. I start to swim towards shore. What didn't look that far, about from here to that back wall. I can do that. Well, the white caps were coming over my head as I'm swimming. Had on a flannel shirt, had on some rubber boots. My rubber boots are still sitting at the bottom of Clinton Lake. They fell off my feet. And I was swimming along, and all of a sudden I felt like I couldn't take another breath. I thought, this is it. And in that moment, when I thought, this is it, what came out of my mouth was three words: "Help me, Jesus." And as soon as I said that, here comes this boat around the corner. Instead of going to my friends, which I'm away from them, he comes directly to me. They reach down, they grab me up out of the water, they pull me up out of the water, and I could breathe again. I was saved in an instant. That's what Jesus did. What he did, when we accept it, we're saved in an instant. We're different from that point on. Well, I got into the boat. We went back to shore, came back out, flipped the boat back over. It cost $600 to flip the boat over and haul it back in. But not only did he save, I was saved that day physically, everything that I had, my fishing gear, my wallet, my keys, everything was laying on the floor of the boat. And when it capsized, it was laying on the floor of the boat. When they flipped the boat back over, my wallet, my keys, my fishing gear were still laying in the floor of the boat. I wasn't only saved, but everything that I needed to get home was still in the boat. Now, my friend lost all of his fishing gear. It's sitting at the bottom of Clinton Lake still. But that's what he does. When he saves you all the way. He doesn't care what you've done. Because the thing of it is, there's things that we've done, and even as a believer, there's going to be things that we do that aren't pleasing to him. If you say you haven't sinned, the Bible says you're a liar. So we're going to do things that still don't please him. But guess what? He gave us 1 John 1:9. He says that if you confess your sin, you confess the wrongdoings that you've done, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. Cleanse you of all unrighteousness. The rolled away stone that we celebrate here today has brought us to this point. It's exciting. The roll away stone, it's an exciting thing. Now, there's other things, as I was putting together, preparing this lesson here, there's other things that aren't as visible that maybe we struggle with. Maybe sometimes we struggle with anxiety. The roll away stone and Jesus coming out paid for that. Maybe we suffer with depression. The rolled away stone and Jesus coming out, it bought that too. Hopelessness, fear, maybe we struggle with those things. Maybe we're not confident in those things. I used to be that way. If you know me now, there ain't nobody better than me. You might know more than I do. You may have a better understanding, be able to do certain things better than I can. But once I found out who I was in Christ, and I'm not being arrogant about it right now, but once I found out who I was in Christ, nobody's better than me. Because the greater one lives on the inside of me. I used to have those feelings of not measuring up. Whenever I'd get into a room full of preachers, I'd been doing ministry stuff for a long time, probably did more pulpit ministry than a lot of ministers. But I'd been doing stuff for a long time. But whenever I'd find myself in a group of ministers, this has been years ago, I felt a little bit inadequate, like I didn't measure up. And I would be in a group full of these ministers, and I'm talking to one of them, and another minister walks up, and he leaves me in mid-sentence and turns and talks to this guy, and I thought, I don't really think I want to be a minister. I don't want to be a pastor if that's the way they're going to act. But I made it a point that I don't do that. If somebody's talking to me, they have my full attention. And if somebody else comes up and tries talking to me, I won't do this, but it'll be kind of like, hold on, I'm finishing up here. But those feelings that I had of self-worth and hopelessness and that we go through, anxiety, all those types of things, the rolled away stone paid for that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 3. It says here, if the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it's hidden only from the people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world. So guess what? If he's the god of this world, you're going to have to deal with him. And if you're a born-again believer, you operate on the other side of the rolled stone, and you're born again, you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you can deal with him handily. Just remember, you're doing it in him, though. It's here, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of the image of God. Back to verse 1. Therefore, since God, in his mercy, has given to us this new way, this message of reconciliation, this message of restoration, to bring us back from this fractured relationship with God, this God has given us this message, we never give up. We as believers never give up. We're on the other side of the stone. We've accepted Jesus as our Savior. We have a confident hope on the inside of us that when we accepted him, we're spending eternity with him. He's preparing a place for me right now. He's got an 18-hole disc golf course in my mansion and on my property up there that I'm anxious to play. I want to get there. I don't want to leave too early, though. I don't believe in suicide, just so you know, because I really like myself. Anyway. But we're not going to give up. We as believers in Christ, living on the other side of the rolled stone, it's good, the cross, we focus on the cross and what Jesus did there, and we should, but you know what? Jesus ain't on the cross no more. He ain't there. And guess what? He's not in the tomb no more. I'm using all kinds of great English. If there's any English majors in here, forgive me. But he ain't on the cross no more. He ain't in the tomb anymore. The stone was rolled away, and he is risen. He is risen, just like he said. I was listening to a song earlier this week. Some of you may know of Lauren Daigle. And she's got a song called Rise Up. And some of the lyrics in that song were, and I believe this is a song that she's singing about her life. She said, I thought that I was too far gone for everything I'd done wrong. I had somebody come to me, been a few years ago, and they asked me, they said, is there ever a sin that we can commit that God would never forgive? And just by them asking me that question, I knew that they wanted forgiveness for whatever it was that they'd done. And I told them, I said, no. There's nothing that you've done that Jesus won't forgive. That's why he gave us 1 John 1:9. That if we confess that sin, that wrongdoing, that thing that we've done, if we confess our sin, he is faithful. Man, I'm glad he's faithful. Man can be unfaithful, but God is faithful. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Man, that's exciting. Says, I thought I was too far gone for everything I'd done wrong. Yeah, I'm the one who dug this grave, but you called my name. And then all at once, I came alive. This beating heart, these open eyes, the grave let go, the darkness should have known, you're still rolling stones. He's still. The things that we go through in our life, when we think that we've done something so bad, the stone was rolled away for that. Just ask him to forgive you, and it's done. It's like your whiteboard is completely clean. It's a done deal. When the stone was rolled away, he came forth, and a new day had risen for all mankind. If you're a believer, if you've messed up and you feel like that you haven't been doing what you need to be doing and living the way that you should be living, it changes today. He's faithful. He'll forgive you. You may have screamed at somebody on your way to church. Nobody screams at their wives or husband in this place. I know that. Everybody's just kind and gentle all the time to their wives and husbands and everybody. Their kids never get on your nerves. Never. But Satan will use that as a tool to try to entrap you, to try to entomb you once again. Hallelujah. Father, we're so thankful. We're so thankful you are alive. Yes. Father, I thank you for all the series of events that took place to bring us to this point. Thank you that we have a confident hope, a confident expectation as your children to spend eternity with you. But Father, while we're here on this earth, you know that we go through stuff. But we're so thankful that the greater one lives on the inside of us. And because you do, that we don't have to put up with the stuff. Whether it's suffering emotionally or physically. The price you paid on the cross and that rolled away stone paid for all of it. Father, you said by the stripes that Jesus took on his back that we are healed. That we were healed.